very warm welcome and a good evening. Sunset Gospel Hour is like a newborn baby. 31 years I've been carrying this baby, and thank God you are helping me to carry. You're in the process of revitalizing and revamping. Songs of reviving will be sung both in the Singspiration and during the service. Singspiration starts at 5:45. Promptly, we promise you, and promptly it will stop before 6. Testimonies of God's grace will be given from time to time. And you will be requested to choose your hymns, hymns you love to sing and to love others to sing. And we will do our best. And you can still have your family dinner. Many of those I invited, they say, "Oh, we have family dinners, you cannot come." I say, "You can come. Will you stop by 7, 7:05, 7:10 maybe?" So do please bear this newborn baby with me. The blessing is yours. The Lord's Day is holy and you ought to keep it holy. And the Lord's Day is also still 24 hours. You have received this card, all of you, I believe so. Now this is a little invitation, calling card size. Invite yourself and bring somebody. This is a special week. And I say, more and more signs of His coming appear for our warning. Earthquakes in diverse places, says the Lord Himself, Jesus' words. Distress of nations, sea and waves roaring. We are far from the place where the seas and waves are roaring, but it has happened off the coast of Japan. 3 weeks ago it was New Zealand, then China, then Japan. What else? We don't never know. He says Singapore is all right. Don't be too sure until it comes. So, dear friends, are you ready? These are the signs. And the Lord Jesus said Himself when He was asked, "How do we know you're coming?" Be ready, therefore. Earthquakes, waves roaring. You never know the power of water until you are caught in the tsunami. New Zealand, China, Japan, Pacific Rim. Are you really ready? We've said this again and again. Don't be caught up with the things of the world. When you're caught up in this, then you will think twice before you launch into something that you ought not to. Wave of destruction that came over Japan, off the northeast coast of Honshu Island. Look at this. Aeroplanes and vans and vehicles toss around like toys. People never know the power of God until they sample it. Our God who made also destroys. This is what I mean by power of water. This is the quake. Where is it? That's Japan. And as far as California and Mexico, people are on the alert. People swimming in the sea off California suddenly realized there was a tsunami coming. So how far away it is? Is it from here all the circles show? The water power goes round the world in the one that happened about how long ago? About 10 years ago in the Aceh. It hit the coast of West Africa, or East Africa, sorry. Now tonight, we go in our series of creation or evolution. The most terrible thing that came into the scene of education in the last century or so is the theory of evolution, taken as fact and scientific at that, and people believe it at the high quarters. You know what Hitler's propaganda chief, I've mentioned this, you know his name if you're old enough, Joseph Goebbels. He was the minister of propaganda. He says, Hitler, don't worry, I will take care of that. You have something that is not true to tell, let me tell it. We tell it from the highest quarters again and again. Many people tell it. When people have heard it so many times from high quarters, they will believe it. My dear friends, evolution is not a fact. It is speculation. And it is bad speculation at that. I'm showing you here the most simple form of life called amoeba. Those of us who have had amoebic dysentery will know what it means. You get one of these bugs inside your system, and you run to the toilet non-stop until you finish, and then you're done. Amoebic dysentery can kill you. This is the organism, amoeba. How did it happen? Where did it come from? When I began my medical school studies, 1947, we learned biology. And the teacher says, boys and girls, before you come tomorrow, go to any roadside pool and take a drop of water, put it in the little container tube, bring it along. So we did. You put a drop under the microscope and this is what you see. Not one, but hundreds and thousands. They're thriving everywhere. Where do they come from? Dirty water will produce this. How did they come from? Spontaneous generation. You know what is spontaneous generation? It means life coming from non-life. Can it happen? People believe it happened until Louis Pasteur, a French bacteriologist and a doctor, he says, I will prove you wrong. You bring any substance and I'll put it to the boil and cook it up in the test tube. Then now you keep it for any length of time. And I guarantee you that nothing will grow out of it. So he is right. Today, every box of fruit drink, milk, you read there, have you ever noticed? Every box without fail, homogenized milk and pasteurized. Ever heard it? Ever seen it? Next time you buy a box of drink, you just look at it. Every box is pasteurized. Named after Louis Pasteur, who says, you put the material under heat, all organisms die, including amoeba. How did amoeba come? So we took this little sample from the roadside, and there we see, under the microscope, magnified 1,000 times, amazing things happen, you see. Under that slide, the slide is so small, you know. You see another world of itself. Single cells running around, moving, having their own wonderful time. In the world of itself, you never knew it until you look down. The eye tells you, wow, there is life beyond life, life unseen. Where did they come from? Creator. My dear friends, so And this is the most wonderful piece of living material, one cell. This one cell performs most of the functions we do, you know. It eats, excretes, moves, reproduce. Wow, wonderful. One cell. Do you know how many cells we are made of? I've told you this. 100 million million. Count it. It's said that if you try to count it, you can sit there counting it for many years. You cannot count, finish counting. One cell, you say, is so simple. Surely it can evolve from nothing. Spontaneous generation. Until Louis Pasteur says, nonsense. Now they say, we must think of something else. Ah, not spontaneous generation, but Big Bang. Ah, something Big Bang. Then out of it comes the debris. The inventor of Big Bang himself, called Fred Doyle, I think that's his name. At the end of his life, he says, is my theory of Big Bang is like telling people a hurricane flew through a big hangar containing all kinds of machinery and wreaked havoc. And when the hurricane had gone through and done its damage, out came a brand new Boeing 747. That is the theory of Big Bang. How can life come out of new life, of nothing? And then this life is very highly organized. You know, there's nothing more wonderful than a human organism. Here it is, one organism. You are one, I am one. This creation that God has made is the most wonderful piece of workmanship ever. And I have a book published by National Geographic. It says, The Human Machine, Incredible Machine. When you study it, you cannot stop wondering what's happening inside whom? Inside yourself, inside me. So here is the amoeba. And you know, we have millions and millions of white blood cells. Red blood cells is 25 million million. And there are many more millions of white blood cells. They look just like this, you know, except not quite the same, but essentially every white blood cell is a one-cell organism. Here it is, white blood cells. What do the white blood cells do? You know, you have so many white blood cells, and when they are outgrown and overwhelm the red cells, then you have what you call leukemia. People die from leukemia because the white blood cells overgrow and become mad, and they overcome the red blood cells. These white blood cells are almost replica of the amoeba. You see the resemblance. See the resemblance. Just one cell. But these cells, you know what they do? Singapore has a very important organization called SAF. These are the armed forces inside every one of us. Without the white blood cells, you're finished. Every day, the white blood cells go around the place to protect us. Safeguard every part of your body so that you can live a healthy life. White blood cells. And the white blood cells will sense, they know, anytime you have a cut or something that penetrates your skin or any other part of the body, the alarm goes and all the white blood cells race to the place. And they begin to attack and to mop up the invading organisms. In the process, they eat up, they surround and swallow. I'm sorry, I can't show you, but There are films that actually show you the battle scene of invading forces, bacteria and viruses and things, and the white blood cells go around and surround them and swallow them and put them to flight and eat them up. In the process, many of these white blood cells themselves are destroyed. But in the process, they kill the invading bacteria. You know, the word called kamikaze. The Japanese, they say, we just dive our fighter bomber at the aircraft carrier. Two or three of us can kill 2,000-3,000 airmen and aeroplanes in one aircraft carrier. Kamikaze, but we've saved the country. These are the kamikaze in your body. White blood cells. Thank God for white blood cells. Enough is enough. When you have too much, I told you, you get leukemia and you die. So, thank God for white blood cells. Now this is a cell enlarged many times and also some color put to it. In the center of this cell, by the way, if these cells are lined up along the edge of this instrument here, there can be 10,000 of these microscopic cells. And yet each cell is a marvel of creation. How can Darwin think that these things can come by evolution? Dead matter become alive. And not just alive, but become marvels of creative genius. You know what I mean? You are one. I'm one. We are living specimens of God's marvel of creative genius. Here I show you one cell, but the marvel of it is that you and I consist of 100 million, million cells to form this body and talk to you and you talk to me. You don't know how the eye is formed. You have two eyes, just two eyes. But you know that your perception of your surrounding by your senses, 70% of your perception of things around you come through the eyes. Where does the rest of the 25% come from? Where? By smell. You can smell things. You say, wow, there's gas. Okay. By touch, you can feel. You can feel hot, feel cold. And what else? By your ears, you can hear. Wow, I hear every siren. Or I hear my baby crying. Then you perceive, but the eyes absorb 70% of all your external perception and stimulus and messages come in from outside all the time, and your eyes receive 70%. How wonderful. Thank God for two eyes, you know. We have always one spare one, a spare tire. If one eye goes blind, you still have one eye. But if two eyes go blind, you're finished. You're really blind as a bat. These two eyes are marvels. Now, where did the eye come from? Where did it come from? From this nucleus. Where did we all come from? Father and mother. Each one contributed half a cell. Did you know that? And when the two cells, two half cells unite together, you get one cell. And from that one cell becomes you, becomes me. It takes 9 months for that cell comes out and becomes eventually 100 million cells from one cell. How did it happen? Evolution? Amazing. I say fantasy is more strange than fact. And this is a fact of life. Where did it come from? The psalm writer called David. Who was David? Shepherd boy, became king because God elected him. What did he say? He says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. He wrote this 3,000 odd years ago. How did he know? I ask you, how did David know that we are fearfully and wonderfully made? Answer, God told him. The Holy Spirit inspired him to understand. We didn't come out of the ground out of nothing. Spontaneous evolution. Amazing. Now back to this nucleus. That cell, I told you, you can line up along this edge of this machine 10,000 or more cells. And of the cell, one small part in the center is called the nucleus. The nucleus contains the life material for the whole body. The secret of life is contained in that nucleus. And only some, maybe 50 or 60 years ago, scientists began to delve into the secret and the mystery of the nucleus. What did they find? It is a material called DNA. What does DNA say? Don't know anything. DNA. Yep. Desoxyribonucleic acid. I have to take a long time to memorize this, you know. Desoxyribonucleic acid. It is a protein substance. And when you analyze it, it is a wonderful thing. Inside here contain all the instructions to the cell itself. How you reproduce a baby that comes out after 9 months looking like father or like mother or like nobody. To come out as a baby from one cell, can you understand it? All where in this nucleus. That's why the instructions inside the nucleus that determines how that one cell grows into a baby of 6 or 7 or 8 pounds to become one day a grown person. How did it happen? All in that nucleus. DNA, don't know anything, and yet becomes you. It's so amazing, they say. The scientists have told us the instructions inside the DNA, and I'll show you a picture of DNA in a moment. The instructions there to say, you, this cell will divide and become one cell, eventually become 100 million cells to form eye, to form head, to form, there are 1,000 parts for your body. All these instructions are contained in that nucleus, in the DNA. So they say, if you transcribe all these instructions into a book, it will contain 1,000 books of 1,000 pages of 3,000 words per page. Only then can you keep all the instructions that are contained in this wonderful, don't-know-anything nucleus. Amazing, isn't it? And for this man called Darwin to say, oh, we all came from dead matter. Dead matter become this. Has it ever been proved? Never been proved. But people like speculation and guesswork, guessology. Ah, it's very good. So this is the story of the nucleus. Inside the nucleus is locked up the mystery of life, the secret of how we came about. You are born perfect with two eyes and not three eyes. Right? And with two hands and 10 fingers and not two hands and 12 fingers. There are some people who get extra little offshoots of fingers, you know. And that is horrible, horrible, look like a monster. But all the good instructions are inside this one little cell, DNA. Who made it? I say, dear friends, this is the secret of life. Now this is the DNA. Don't know anything, yes. Here it is. I mean, this is of course artist's impression, but when they try to analyze that bit of protein material, enlarge it out, this is a double twist of a spiral, and this is made of protein, and it determines whether you're going to have black hair or brown hair, blue eyes or brown eyes, and whether your skin is going to be fair or white or whatever, kopi susu or kopi o, all determined inside the gene, inside here, inside the DNA, and a million other details, all encoded within the protein material. How can it be? Who told us? The genetic scientists, by their powerful instruments, delved into the secret of the DNA and made it 10,000 times enlarged and printed out. Here it looks a double twist of a spiral. And that is the secret of life. So to recap some of the things I've been telling you, do you know? Of course you don't know, and neither did I, until you tell me. The DNA in the cell nucleus has genetic information to fill 1,000 books of 1,000 pages of 3,000 words, letters per page. Amazing. Evolution? Can evolution do this? Now I mentioned red blood cells. This is what they look. This is actual cells. A friend asked me as we were coming here, what happens with the red cells? Do you know that every day a whole lot of red cells break down and is excreted as bile? You know what is bile? If you don't excrete the bile, which comes out with your excretion, you suddenly become jaundiced. You look green and yellow and looks funny. And that is because the blood breaks down all the time. While new blood comes on, old blood, the life of a blood cell, red blood cell, is just a few weeks. And then it's got to be recycled. What does a blood cell do? What does it do? Do you know? We can breathe here easily and feel comfortable in this atmosphere because of the red blood cells that circulate through the lungs and carry two gases, carry oxygen from the air you breathe. In the lungs, the red blood cells absorb what? Oxygen, and give up carbon dioxide. Scientists and politicians today are very worried about carbon dioxide accumulating in the atmosphere of the earth, and they say it's causing global warming. All of us are producing too much carbon dioxide. I say, rubbish. If there is any worry about that, God will take care of it. We've been on this globe of ours for 4,000 or 5,000 years, 6,000 years. Nobody ever worried about carbon dioxide. Now suddenly people discover, wow, carbon dioxide, global warming. I say it's a whole lot, a load of rubbish. So that's the story of red blood cells. And do you know, before you leave this place, take this figure with you. 25 million red blood cells in your body, circulating through thousands and hundreds of thousands of blood vessels, thousand miles, yes, circulating through every part, every cell in your body is bathed with red blood cells. Do you know you have 25 million red blood cells? And they say, this came by evolution. I say, nonsense. Now you come to the real topic tonight. This is a close-up magnification of our eye. You got two, I got two. This is what it looks. The eye is a ball, a globe. What is it? What is the eye for? For seeing, of course. How do you see? I can look at you now. I can see about 400 people. You can put 1,000, I still see. You still see. You can get all the impression. From every one of us comes millions of light rays. That's how I see. That's how you see. Light rays convey an impression to me. Those light rays come in. This is the eye. That's the lens inside there. It goes through the cornea, the covering, the transparent covering, through the cornea. And the cornea protects the inside lens. And there is a shutter kind of thing that grows small and big. That's called the iris. It allows just enough light for you to be comfortable. If it is very bright, it shuts down like this. If it is very dark, it opens up. Who made this? Evolution? I say, God hopes. So, God made the eye. The most impossible, complicated machinery in the whole world is the eye. Who made it? Nowadays, our computer cameras are amazing. I don't know what they're made of. But in the old days, I used to carry a Leica or Zeiss or something. And they have this iris like this. They call it the aperture. It can open and close. So here it is. God made this open and close and lets in all the light rays. Now the light rays come through a lens, and the lens does exactly what the camera lens does. Focus all the light from as far as I can see, as far as you can see, all the light like this comes into two eyes. And all the light comes through here, then the lens bends it into the screen at the back, and that is called the retina. All the light rays goes through and impacts on the retina. What are light rays? They are electrical energies, electrical waves. You don't know that. Light rays are energy rays, and they convey color and form and image to impact, carrying those messages. How many rays come through your eyes at any time? Millions, millions, you cannot count them. And then the retina, the screen at the back here, this is the retina. All the light comes there, focus, and then directs them on the retina. And the retina has got 116 million cells, special cells, that will do the work of helping you to see. Now, in case you want to have a more systematic look at the eye, this is an artist's impression, line drawing. The last one is in color 3D. This one is line drawing, the same idea. The light comes in, focus, and then onto the screen. Now all the light on the screen is again converted into electrical energy to be carried by the nerve. At the back of your eye is a nerve. That nerve is called the optic nerve. It contains 100 million nerve fibers, and they carry this message that has been sent. I'm looking at all of you people. All the messages come through the eye, goes on the retina, and then transform into electrical energy to be carried by the optic nerve to where? To the brain. The brain is inside here. Then the brain begins to decipher and to tell you what you are seeing. this one, this one, this one. You can recognize everyone by what? Electrical impulses. Amazing, amazing. Evolution? No, dear friends. Not so simple as that. In the eye, there are two kinds of cells. Two kinds of cells, just two. These are called cones, and these straight ones, thin ones, are called rods. 100 million rods for dim light. They especially for dim light, they will see in the semi-darkness, they will see for you. It's a kind of a radar cell. These are for bright light and for colors. They will see for you the colors. As you can see, the cones are fewer, only about 16 or 15 million. The rods are about 100 million. And they will tell you the beautiful colors that you see. Now, that's the end of the science lesson. Let's turn to God's word now. And then we will conclude. My time is overrunning. You say this fellow never keep his word. I will try my best to keep my word. Psalm 139, verse 14. Verse 14. The psalmist David says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. You say, hey, David, where do you get those ideas from? In your time, all you had was a shepherd's crook and a staff, and you can play a little harp, and you serenade to the sheep. Where do you get all this from? To know that, wow, God is fearfully, wonderfully made me. Answer, the Holy Spirit of God illumines his mind. Surely he understands that we came from God's wonderful creation. Whereas for all the rest, God spoke, it happened. For man is different. God said, let us make, and he fashioned us with the dust of the ground with his own hands. Then, what? It is in his image, after his likeness, that he breathed into us. So you can understand, we are fearfully, wonderfully made. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, in my mother's womb, of course. That is the lowest part of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet imperfect. And in thy book all my members were written. That takes 1,000 pages of 1,000 books and 3,000 words per book, per page, containing all the instructions of how every part of my body will develop. Verse 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Wonderfully, wonderful thoughts. Now, verses 23 and 24, as we conclude. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen.